do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Today we continue our sermon series on disciples in the public square. How do we act as disciples of Jesus when interacting with one another? And so we're looking at all these passages through the New Testament that speak about one another and how we're supposed to treat each other. We're not able to look at all of them, but we're looking at a good portion of them. And today's passage deals with humility. How do we clothe ourselves with humility toward one another? So, good news for y'all, I'm kind of an expert in humility, and so I'm going to be sharing a lot of good advice and tips about humility today that should be really golden for y'all to obey this. No, okay, I'm going to try really hard not to do any more bad humble jokes through the whole sermon. So that was it. It's out of the way now. How do we treat each other with humility? That's the question for today. And the lesson throughout the Bible is just this, humility. It shows up everywhere in the scriptures. So our passage today from 1 Peter is a letter that Peter's writing to the churches in Asia Minor. They've gone through lots of persecution. He's given them instructions, encouragement, and he's getting to the end of the letter in our passage today, and he's giving the elders this instruction on just how the church should operate and people interact with each other. And he turns, after speaking to the elders, turns to the younger people, and he tells them this. And we're picking up in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. I always want to go to the next verse. It's one of my favorites, but we're stopping at verse 6. Because we're just focusing on humility today. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we are thankful for your word today. And as we think about humility, as we think about applying these words to our lives, we pray for your help. By your Holy Spirit, Lord, help these words to make their way to the deepest part of our being. For we pray in the strong name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. So, humility. Peter, writing to the churches in Asia Minor, thinks that humility is the key, actually. If they're going to get any of this stuff right, if they're going to be treating each other properly, if the church is going to work well together, humility is the key. He says, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility. So when we start thinking about humility as the Bible teaches it, we have to start with humility before God. We must be humble before God. Now, if we have a real, true view of who God is, then this should come pretty naturally. God is the creator of the universe. He made everything that we see. God is perfect. He's redeemed us. He's in every way, he's perfect. He cannot be matched by any other human being. We approach God then with reverence, with healthy fear, with humility. We humble ourselves before God. Now, the Bible doesn't stop there. Humility with God is where we start, but that's not where we finish. We also must show humility to each other, just like what Peter is teaching to these churches in our passage. So Andrew Murray is a pastor in South Africa back in the 1800s. He wrote many good, helpful books. One of the ones that I've found the most helpful, let's be honest, it's actually the only one of his that I've read, but I hear that the others are very helpful. Andrew Murray's book on humility is a gem. There's a ton of really, really good perspectives about living a humble life in this book. But he writes this: humility towards men will be the only sufficient proof that our humility before God is real. If you want to prove that your humility before God is real, then it's going to show in the way that you treat other people. I think that's extremely important. I think it's true. Murray would argue, and I would agree, that humility toward God, humility toward people are very closely related. Once you've understood your true position before God, you couldn't possibly see yourself as better than another person or look down on some other person. Humility. It's important. It's commanded by God in Scripture. But the question comes up a lot. What happens, or how do I show humility toward other people when I have a higher position than they do? I mean, maybe a little more direct, a little more crass way to ask the same question would be, well, how am I supposed to be humble in front of people if I'm better than they are? I hope you are beginning to see, like, maybe it's the question that's the problem. Well, Murray would say that exactly that. The question is not what we should be asking. If you're asking that question, then you're already looking at it from the wrong perspective. If I've truly humbled myself before God, then I see myself as nothing. God is everything, and I am nothing. Not in a way that's damaging to myself, but in a way that allows God to lift me up, rather than me lifting myself up. This is freeing for us. And when I'm properly humble, this is a little bit ironic, but when I'm properly humble, my self-esteem actually doesn't come from myself at all. My self-esteem comes from God lifting me up. I humble myself, and God lifts me up. 1 Peter says, well, he's quoting from Proverbs 3, verse 34. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. If you are proud, if you lack humility, you should expect opposition from God. That's not the way we're supposed to live. We're supposed to clothe ourselves with humility. And when we do, when we humble ourselves under God's mighty hand, he may lift you up in due time. When we humble ourselves, God lifts us up. Almost word for word, that's repeated in James chapter 4, verse 10. Humble yourself, God will exalt you. We humble ourselves and God exalts us. I would say the reverse is also true. If I exalt myself, then sooner or later, God will humble me. And let me just say, it almost always works better if you can figure out how to humble yourself rather than waiting for God to humble you. And in the same way, exaltation always is more valuable, always better when it comes from outside of you someone saying something good about you rather than self-exaltation, right? We humble ourselves and we allow God to exalt us. Now, it's pictured right here in this passage, although it's a little bit hidden. And William Barclay, the commentator, helps us to see this hidden part of our scripture through the word clothe. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. That word actually is used in two different ways. It's not a common word in the Greek used back in the New Testament times, but it's used in two different ways. It's the same word that was used when Jesus clothed himself with a towel. He tied that towel around his waist and he proceeded to wash his disciples' feet. A beautiful act of humility and service to his disciples. And so we clothe ourselves with humility like Jesus did in washing the disciples' feet. But it also has the connotation of clothing yourself with a robe that would be used for honor, like for royalty in that sense. And so we humble ourselves like Jesus, clothing ourselves with that towel like Jesus to serve other people. And God clothes us, honors us with that robe of honor. So there's those two parts of it, which I think are both very true. We humble ourselves, and God exalts us. A good reminder, the first will be last, the last will be first. Unfortunately, we live in a world where this is not the prevailing perspective, right? The world just doesn't work like this. Imagine if you're looking for a new job and you put your resume together and it ends up, you're trying to be really faithful to these scriptures and your resume ends up really short. I am nothing. Maybe you should check with God. He might have something good to say about me. I mean, the interview probably would be even worse, right? Now, it's a little funny to think of being like that extreme in our humility, right? But how do we live in this world? How do we make that balance? I think it's okay for us to speak highly about ourselves in order to get a job. I mean, not, you know, untrue things, right? But I think it's okay for us to project our best self in those sorts of circumstances. It's a balance. We have to be balanced between the world that we were not made for. We were made for God's kingdom, right? That's where we, if we're fully honest, if we're fully obedient to these scriptures, then that works perfectly in God's kingdom. It doesn't work perfectly in the world. We weren't made for this world. And this is a good reminder of that. But I think if we're honest, coming up with a really good resume or talking about how good I am in an interview as a Christian, there should be some part of that that makes me a little uncomfortable. This is not what I'm supposed to be doing. I think that that's a healthy way to have some tension with that. So we do what's necessary to live in this world and we balance things. But at the end of the day, we want to guard our heart, that my heart doesn't get used to me lifting myself up, but that I remember to humble myself before God and let Him lift me up. So one of the things that came to mind as I was thinking about humility is our mission trips that we take as a church. One of the things we do with every mission team is we meet beforehand to talk about what it's going to be like. What, especially the cultural things. Stuff, you know, we're going to be stepping into another culture where we've never been, maybe, and things can be very different. Although there are some cultures that aren't so much different from ours, in parts of the world, things are very different. And we can very easily, accidentally offend people by doing simple things that are no big deal in our culture, but they become a big deal in another culture. Showing the bottom of your foot to somebody, or paying with cash with your left hand instead of your right. I don't usually have to think about that. But when we're traveling, we do think about those things. Now, do we always get it right? Absolutely not. In fact, changing the way you've done something your whole life for a week-long trip is very difficult. And so at the end of the day, what I make sure that mission teams know, if you can just remember one thing, make it humility. If you just get one thing right, make sure that you're humble. And it covers a multitude of mistakes. If my attitude is humble, then I can mess up and the offense will be much less than if I'm walking around with pride or arrogance. So it works like this. Instead of approaching somebody who I'm looking at here and they're doing something, maybe it's agriculture, and I'm thinking, well, gosh, if they just did it this other way, it'd be twice as fast. Or maybe they're messing around with their phone and something, and it's like, oh, I know how phones work. I mean, like, they just need some help. They don't know what they're doing. And instead of me approaching it from that perspective, I instead think, well, I'm humbling myself. So maybe I don't know everything. Maybe they are doing it that way for a reason, and I just need to ask some questions. So I ask questions instead, and I am curious. I say, well, tell me more about what you're doing here and how this thing works. And we learn that way, and we find out there's probably a reason why they're doing things one way and not another. I've found on more than one occasion that people who live in their own culture, in their own context, actually know more about it than I do. That's actually the way it usually works. Now, why would I spend this much time talking about mission trips? You all are not on a mission team getting ready to go somewhere necessarily, so what's the reason for that? Well, I actually think this is a skill that's not just helpful for mission trips. This same practice of humility is helpful in our own context right here in Midland, Texas, when you're sitting across from somebody who thinks differently about something than you do. Maybe you've met somebody who thinks differently than you. There's an election coming up. Maybe you've heard, right? And honestly, that's why one of the main reasons why we're talking about how we treat one another during this season. Because we don't really see in the political realm a lot of people clothing themselves with humility toward one another. But what might that look like? So think about it. Through this election season, as a representative of Jesus, what would it look like if you practice these principles of humility in interacting with somebody, especially somebody that is coming from a totally different perspective? It might look a little bit like stepping across those cultural divides on a mission trip, where you keep up a healthy curiosity and you ask questions and you assume that that person actually knows something and you want to find out more. And you become inquisitive. You ask questions, not the kind of questions that are meant to trap them or meant to pull them over to your side so they look, believe what you believe on that issue. But genuine questions, seeking understanding of their position. Now, this doesn't mean you have to let go of your ideals or stop believing what you believe about an issue. Not at all. But acting humbly in this way, it does mean that we refrain from making fun of that position or those people. We refrain from name-calling. We refrain from just having a conversation in order to change somebody's mind. We're actually wanting to find out more about what makes that person tick. So we humble ourselves, and maybe, just maybe, you find out that you agree a little bit on certain parts of the issue, that you're not actually, as our culture pushes us to be, 100% against each other, right? Maybe there is some point of agreement y'all can find. But without approaching that conversation with humility, those points of agreement remain obscured and hidden. Paul tells the Philippians in the scripture that Noble read earlier that we show humility by looking out for the interests of other people, not our own interests. We take what we want, even what we need, and we set it aside, and we look to that other person. What does this person need? Maybe it's material stuff that we could help with, but often it's things like joy, love, hope. How can we share some of those things with the person across the table from us? And give some thought to this as we go through these next couple of months. What would humility look like in your conversations around this election? Maybe face-to-face conversations, maybe it's online. What might you need to adjust? Okay, we're done with the election stuff, all right? So, humility really does receive a lot of attention in the Bible. I could stand up here for 2 hours and talk about it. I don't think it's because I have that much to say, but it's really because we need that much help with humility. It's really hard for us to humble ourselves day by day. But I believe that as we try to follow Jesus, the only way we can be successful is if we're humble, if we're seeking humility. So much of the life following Jesus does not work if we don't get this one right. And Jesus is our perfect example. I know this sounds like Sunday school, but Jesus really is the perfect example. He could have, if Jesus wanted to compare himself with anybody on the face of the earth, he could have, and he would have come out on top every time. But we don't see Jesus doing that ever through Scripture. He doesn't compare himself so that he can lift himself up. No, he humbles himself so that God can lift him up. The perfect example of what we're trying to do every day. Somehow, Jesus remained perfectly humble while still leading with power and resolve. Somehow, Jesus had the perfect balance. So look to Jesus and his life as you try to put this into practice. And I want us to close today with this beautiful hymn that I'll be reading, not singing. But this is the hymn that we already heard Noble read part of it from Philippians chapter 2, but it's really worth repeating and for us to be thinking of Jesus as Paul encourages the Philippians to follow his example in how to be humble. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.